This is ReConversations. Welcome to this special series of the Crexie Podcast, an insider's look at all things commercial real estate, powered by NNN Pro Group, the market-leading investment sales and advisory team. In this exclusive mini-series, Crexie visited ICSC Recon live in Las Vegas from the floor of the convention center at the NNN Pro Group's booth to sit down with movers and shakers in all things commercial real estate. Our mission? Investigate trends, educate listeners, and uncover ground-level insights into the latest industry news. With ReConversations, the Crexie Podcast hopes to provide next-level access into the inner workings of commercial real estate for this generation and the next. Welcome and thank you all for joining us for this special episode of the Crexie Podcast, an insider's look at all things commercial real estate. I'm your host, Yiannis Papadakis, and today we are thrilled to be sitting with Stephen Greathouse, Senior Vice President and Chief Investment Officer of CTO Realty Growth and Alpine Income Property Trust. A little bit about our guest before we get started. Stephen Greathouse joined CTO Realty Growth in January 2012 and is responsible for the acquisition and disposition of income-producing properties as well as other investment opportunities for the company. He most recently was the Director of Finance at N3 Real Estate, a single-tenant triple-net property developer. Prior to N3, he was a senior associate at Morgan & Stanley and Crescent Real Estate Equities, where he was involved in mezzanine loan investments. He earned his undergraduate degree and master's in business administration from Texas Christian University. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
First topic, before we jump into the nitty-gritty of retail, tell us a little bit more about yourself, where you're from, and how you got started with commercial real estate.
Sure. Yeah. Originally from Fort Worth, Texas, born and raised there. And real estate, went to school at TCU and wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. I was actually a little more finance focused, not necessarily real estate. So started in the finance department at Crescent Real Estate Equities, which was a large office landlord across the Southwest. And just evolved the relationship and sat at every different seat across real estate over the last 20 some odd years. So whether it was underwriting deals, being a lender, being on the equity side, putting together deals, and that gave me a good foundation and just followed the opportunities. So,
now, what is your specific focus and why did you choose that sector?
Sure. CTO used to be called Consolidated Tomoka Land Company. It's a legacy land company, over 100 years old. Went public in the mid-60s as a land company. And really, when I came on board 12 years ago with our CEO, John Albright, really, the goal of the company was to sell the legacy land and go into income properties, income producing assets. We were a C Corp at the time. Once we got most of the land sold and it went into operating income, we converted the company to a REIT. So that was important. And then once we'd done office, we'd done really every food group. And really at the time we were doing single tenant retail. And saw an opportunity before COVID hit, obviously, you know, retail was a four-letter word on the big power center. Everybody thought Amazon was going to rule the world. And so we looked around and said, what are we going to do with this money from selling the land? And what we took a little contrarian view and said, even if retail goes terribly wrong, we're going to try and buy really good centers on large tracts of land in cities that aren't going to go away. And if all the retail goes away, then, you know, we've dabbled in other stuff. So we'll, you know, we feel like we're going to buy the real estate right to figure it out. So it's always been real estate focused, but retail is kind of where we thought the best opportunity was.
Now, who were some of your mentors and how did they help shape your career path?
Sure. So I've been with a couple of different folks, but our CEO, John Albright, this is the third time I've worked with John. He took me under his wing in 2004 when he joined Crescent to kind of start a structured finance platform. And so I've just rode those coattails for a while and it's paid off. I think we make a great team and we've seen a lot and done a lot together. So he's probably been the most influential person throughout my career.
Were there some lessons that you learned early on that became invaluable going forward?
Too many to count, but I always say I kept a stupid book when I was young. And
a stupid book? What's a stupid book?
Stupid book was inevitably we do dumb stuff early in our careers and we think, oh my God, I'm such an idiot. I'm going to get fired tomorrow. And so I kept a book for a long time that had all the dumb stuff that I did. Just something to go back and remind you to, I'm not going to make that mistake twice. And I think that's part of the screwing up and having a little bit of failure every now and then is what teaches you experiences. You just hope it's not so bad that you're looking for a job.
Got it. All right. Now getting into the nitty gritty, tell us more about CTO Realty Growth. What are your investment principles and what strategies do you use to manage your portfolio?
Sure. So CTO is multi-tenant retail focused, mostly shopping centers throughout the Southeast Texas and a little bit in the Southwest. Really what we're looking for is great real estate, first and foremost, that's going to be valuable in somebody's eyes long after we're doing this. We start with our markets, we're in both growth and gateway markets. And then after that, we're really looking for some type of value add, whether it's buying a whole center and being able to take some out parcels and spin those out to our single tenant REIT, Alpine, or some vacancy. And so really we're looking for a stable property going in with some type of upside in markets that we can grow out.
How the last few years and macroeconomic trends, interest rates impacted your investment activity? What are you prioritizing and where are you adjusting in terms of efficiency?
Sure. Fortunately, on the capital markets side, we have a strong CFO who's really kept the balance sheet in pretty good order. So we are fortunate that by being public and having a solid balance sheet, we don't have to do any property level financing. So as the macro world has changed, now with the interest rate environment, we've been able to take advantage of that by being more of an all cash buyer. And then the same held true during COVID. We'd just gotten in early 2020. We just bought our first three large shopping centers. And obviously COVID, you wake up in March of 2020 and you kind of have that uh-oh moment. But really what it allowed for us just through the strength of our balance sheet and being public was to really accelerate the strategy and investment thesis we had for the centers. In the long run, we like the shakiness because we're still small enough that we can be entrepreneurial and target specific deals. So hopefully one day we'll be big enough that we'll have a different answer, but that's where we are today.
That's great to hear. Now, what are your thoughts about technology and commercial real estate? For example, the rising accessibility of data. There's new tools that are really starting to shine now as the market's shifting, like auctions, AI, anything around these topics that you want to talk about some experience with?
Yeah, so we've done auction stuff more on the buy side, not really our cup of tea because we like to do a little more due diligence. We've certainly rolled technology into our underwriting, but I'd say we use it much more as, you know, an arrow in the quiver. It's not the end all be all.
Right.
Because I think still with real estate, it's a tangible asset. We find there's just as much value going and sitting in the parking lot or sitting in the shop and watching it. So I think it's a great complement to real estate, but I still think just by the nature of real estate itself, you're always going to, it's not going to totally be a game changer. It's going to help it.
What are your feelings on AI? Is it a superhero or a boogeyman?
You know, I think it has the potential to be a superhero, certainly. I think from our vantage point, I think with back office, like stuff like accounting and stuff like that, I think is where it'll have the most impact probably on real estate and really any company that has accounting and stuff like that. For what we're doing, I've seen it across getting sales comps and stuff like that, but I'm interested to see what comes next out of it with respect to real estate.
Now, a couple general questions here before we wrap up. Is there anything, any trends that you're seeing now that in your experience are impacting kind of decision-making on a deal-by-deal level?
For us, we're small and nimble enough that we're only buying a few centers a year. So we're definitely watching what's happened in the macro backdrop and trying to go on the offense a little more by identifying groups that have debt coming due or finding assets where we feel like by virtue of not having to rely on the debt markets that we'll be able to take advantage of people who don't have the same situation as us.
And then I've got a couple of rapid fire questions for you.
Sure, fire away.
First one, if you were given $50 million today and you had to invest it immediately, what would be your go-to asset type and location and why?
Today, I would do That's a good question. Yeah, it's too rapid fire.
The little Brewster's Millions.
Yeah, exactly. I know. What a high-class problem that would be. Like, I'm day in, day out, not only on the multi-tenant side, but on the single-tenant side. So I think I'd probably have to do a little bit of both, but I don't think retail's going away anytime soon. So I think much like our strategy and investment thesis at CTO and Alpine, it's real estate first. As long as you're buying good real estate, the valuations might suck now, but at some point there's a reason there's a real estate cycle.
Favorite tool or software that you use on the job?
Still Excel.
So, Excel?
Yeah. I do think the AI will make us all power users. Yeah. So I worry about the quant guys who are out build models and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I feel like that could be a disruptor, because now we can all be as cool at Excel as we've always wanted to be.
All right. And what is the most common misconception about your job or industry?
Specifically with mine, that single tenants, I'll give it on the single tenant side, that single tenant is as easy as everybody thinks it is. If you can afford to buy Chipotle's Whataburgers, then maybe life is easy, but still real estate, roofs still leak, plumbing still needs to be fixed, and there's a lot more that goes into it than just set it and forget it. We'd all like to buy those, but I think the bigger this industry gets, a little bit more that goes out the window. Might hold true for the 1031 small guys, but I think for public REITs and the larger institutional players, it's not as cookie cutter as most people think it is.
Yeah. Well, thank you for joining us and sharing your insights. Where can people find you online if they want to connect? Is it email, social media?
Sure. All my info's on both of our websites, www.ctoreit.com and www.alpinereit.com.
Thanks to everyone who tuned in to today's ReConversations, powered by NNN Pro Group. A special shout out and thanks to our friends at the NNN Pro Group for hosting us at their booth this week at ICSC. As mentioned earlier, NNN Pro Group is the market leading net lease investment sales and advisory team in the country. To learn more, you can visit their website at nnnpro.com. And if you enjoyed this episode, be sure not to miss the next one. Subscribe to the Crexie Podcast on your favorite podcast app, or check out our YouTube channel at www.youtube.com/Crexie for video recordings of each episode. Goodbye, stay well, we'll see you next time.